called Shabbos Berachos. Being that it's the first Shabbos, and it actually, just like we say, Rosh Hashanah is the Rosh of the year, is the brain of the year. You don't call it the beginning of the year, you call it the Rosh Hashanah, because it's not just the beginning, it's the head of the year, it controls the entire year. So like Rosh Chodesh, it's called Rosh Chodesh because it controls the entire month, not Tchilas HaChodesh. So too, this is the Reishis, the Rosh of all the Shabbosos, and not only that, but it is the Rosh of the entire Torah. The entire Chamisha Chumshei Torah, which encompasses everything, because this is what Hashem used to create the world, is really all in Bereishis, which means that Bereishis includes all the Doiras, everything from beginning to end. Especially according to the Ramban, who says that the 6 days of creation correspond to the 6,000 years that Hashem created the world. That means every day corresponds to another millennium. So the first day was until the year 1,000. The sixth day, which is the time we're in now, is between 5,000 and 6,000. And as the Chassam Sofer and the Gra, they say, said that if one can actually pinpoint exactly what minute Adam was created on the sixth day, one can calculate when Mashiach is going to come between 5,000 and 6,000, because that's when it's going to happen. Mashiach is going to come exactly at the time when Hashem made Adam on day number 6, which is to the latter part of the day. By Yomer Elokim Na'ase Adam, which Na'ase Adam doesn't only refer to the creation of Adam, it also refers to the creation of the Jewish people as a nation, as opposed to the animals who were the nations. We are the Adam, Adam Atam, and of course, the ultimate neshama that's going to perfect the world, that's Mashiach himself. This Shabbos, this parasha is always read right after Sukkot, as Tishrei comes to a close. And one would expect that the parasha that we are reading at such a great time of the year, when we are all on, hopefully on a very high level, after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, and Shmini Atzeres, and Simchas Torah, and we've reached such great heights, would be a very, very uplifting parasha, appropriate for the time that we're in now. But when one looks in this parasha, you can't help but only see negativity. Especially right after Hashem creates Adam, we have the whole story of the Chet Eitz Hadas. Very negative story. Resulting in Adam being cursed, Chava being cursed, the Nachash being cursed, that doesn't bother us as much, but the Einshim and the Klolois, and of course that man has to die as a result of Chet Eitz Hadas. El ha'isha amar harba arba itzvoinech tzar gidul banim, tzar leida, the elishech tshukosech v'hu yimshol bach, aruro ha'adama ba'avurecha, the earth is cursed, there are going to be thorns and thistles and weeds, it's going to be very difficult to cultivate a land. This is certainly not a very joyous topic to read about. And it doesn't end. After that, Adam HaRishon is banished from Gan Eden by Yigoresh Es HaAdam, and then we get further into the parasha with the first murder in history, Cain kills Hevel. And although Hashem accepts somewhat the tshuva of Cain, Cain is Navanod, and it doesn't end there either. Cain is also killed by his own grandchild later on. And then we read about the first idol worshippers, Dor Enosh, and Yovel and Yuval, Yoshev Oyhel Umikna, Toifes Kinar Ve'uga, which Rashi says that all of this was for idols. The music, the instruments that they made to sing and to play music was all for idol worship. So was the Oyhel Umikna. And then we have Tuval Kayan, who was the first one to invent, to build weapons of mass destruction, which we suffer from today. Tuval Kayan gets the credit for it. Why was he called Tuval Kayan? Rashi says, because Toivel Umnosei Shal Kayan. He spiced the occupation of Kayan by creating weapons. Kayan didn't know how to kill Hevel. Kayan didn't know what to do, the Medrash says. He used all different wood, rocks. He didn't know where to hit him, where to kill him, what's the best place. He started with the feet. He didn't know what to do until finally he killed him. Tuval Kayan helped him out with weapons. Loitesh Kol Chayresh Nechayesh Zubazo. And we read about Oz Hucha Likroi B'Shem Hashem, that's referring to Avodah Zarah, as Rashi says, the people began worshipping idols, and it gets worse, the immorality reaches such proportions, the Nephilim, HaNephilim Hoyu Ba'aretz Bayomim Hoheim, Hema HaGiborim Hashem Eilam Anshe Hashem, and finally, Vayar Hashem Ki Rabba Ro'ah So'odam Ba'aretz, V'chol Yetzer Machshav Azlibay Rak Rak Kol Hayoim, Vayinochem Hashem, Kaviyochol Hashem Has Charota that He created Odom, Vayis Atzei, Hashem is depressed, Hashem is sitting shiva for the world already. Rashi says, He's depressed by Avdan Maase Yadav. He's Nisabel al Avdan Maase Yadav. He's mourning. He's being Misabel on his creation. And he says, Emcha Esa Adam Hashem Barasimi al Pneho Adama, Kinichamti Ki Asisim, I have Charot Esor of Hashem. Says, I have a change of heart, a change of mind, that I created man, that I created life. Very, very sad parasha. An extremely depressing parasha to read, especially now. Why should we read this now? We are on a high. I mean, many are depressed when Yom Tov is over for various reasons. But after Rosh Hashanah and Kippur and Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres, we would expect to be reading something extremely uplifting. And this parasha is the first. This is supposed to be the catalyst. This is the Rosh, the Rashis of all the parashas of the Torah. And it is the most depressing parasha. One chet after another. One einish after another. In fact, the Medrash says, why does the parasha begin with a beis and not an aleph? Because beis stands for bracha. Yet in this parasha, there's more klolos than in any other parasha practically. Adam is cursed, Chava is cursed, the Nachash is cursed, Kayan is cursed, the Adama is cursed. And how does this fit in the time that we are in, which this Shabbos is Shabbos Mevorchim Mar Cheshvan. We're going from Tishrei to Mar Cheshvan. We're making the transition from Tishrei, the Yerach HaEsonim, to Mar Cheshvan, referred to in the Navi as the Yerach Bul, the month of decay, because the world begins to decay in Mar Cheshvan. The fall season, or the leaves are falling off the trees. The rotting is taking place. It looks like the world is being destroyed, but actually it's being prepared for another planting season. Spiritually, compared to Tishrei, Mar Cheshvan is a sad month. It doesn't have any Yom Tov in it, which is one of the reasons it's called Mar, bitter Cheshvan. This is the Shabbos that takes us from Tishrei to Mar Cheshvan. This is the Shabbos. This parasha helps us make that transition. And how does it do it? If we take a look closely at the Sheishas Yemei Bereishis, we also see an interesting phenomenon. That every one of the days of creation has negativity in it. Every day. And you're talking now about the beginning of the creation of the world. You would think that Hashem would have made this perfect world. And yet it's obvious, clear, that intentionally Hashem creates snags and imperfections, one after the other, to create a world that is not only imperfect, but a sinful, immoral world. And Hashem sort of gave room for this, room for kfirah and apikorsis, as we see in these psukim here. Take day number one. After Bereishis Bara Elokim Es Hashamayim V'Es HaOretz, which the Gemara says that there was no joy before Hashem like the day that Hashem created the heavens and the earth, and the Mishkan, the construction of the Mishkan is equated to Briyas Shamayim V'Oretz. So here we're beginning the parasha with great simcha, the creation of the heavens and the earth from absolute zero, Yesh Me'ayin. The next pasuk already, V'Oretz HaSoyhu V'Voyhu V'Choshech Al Pnei Sahayim. There's emptiness, there's darkness, there's an abyss. Which one might argue, well, obviously the world was empty at that time, there was nothing here. So that's what the Torah is just describing to you, what the world looked like. But the truth is, the Medrash says that these adjectives here refer to the empires. Toyhu is the Babylonian Empire, Boyhu is the Persian Empire, Choshech is the Greek Empire, Tehaim is the Edomite Empire, Golus Edom, Golus Yishmael. All the Golios are right here in day number one, before even man was created, before there was a Jewish nation. Already on the first day, there's room for the Dalet Malchios and for all the suffering that existed during these exiles, are right here on day number one. Already Hashem created negativity. Yes?
You mentioned those were the galus of all of them. Is it true that, I mean, something that the Sheishas Yemei Bereishis somehow represents all the entire history
we mentioned
world.
That before. It's the 6,000 years that Hashem created the world. That's what I started with.
It represents the whole...
It encompasses the entire history. Yes. Yes, that's also
somehow,
true. Right. Yeah. Day number one is till the year 1000, and day number six, which is the time we're in now, is between 5000 and 6000. Yes, we mentioned that before. 1 minute. Day number two is definitely a negative day. That's Monday, where Hashem does not say Tov. It doesn't say Ki Tov on day number two, and for many reasons. One is because Hashem didn't complete what he started. Now, Hashem is a Kol Yochel. Hashem could do whatever he wants. So obviously, he purposely did not finish what he started on Monday for a reason. But he didn't say Tov. He wasn't satisfied with what he created on Monday because it was left unfinished. Plus the Medrash tells us Gehenna was created on Yom Sheni. Shadim, Mazikin, bacteria, germs. A lot of evil was created on Yom Sheni, including Machloikas, separation, division, which is one of the roots of evil, which we suffer from today. Machloikas was created on Yom Sheni when Hashem separated the waters. Again, negativity. Third day, one might argue, oh, the third day is a perfect day. Hashem said Tov twice. But on the third day, we find also a lot of negativity. Hashem commanded and ordered that the earth produce trees a certain way, that the fruits and the wood, that the bark should taste the same. Toitze ha'aretz besha esev mazriya zera eitz peri, that the peri and the eitz should taste the same, like an esrog. But the earth didn't do that. But toitze ha'aretz, says the pasuk, Eitz Oisepri, says Rashi, Vehi Loyasasakain. It did not do what Hashem told it to do. And that therefore later, when Adam was cursed, so was the earth. Now, obvious question obviously is here. Is,
what does it mean that they didn't do what Hashem
said? Right. What does that mean? This is a question that is discussed.
How could they go against Hashem?
Exactly. How could they go against Hashem? And Rashi just says it without even explaining it, as if anyone reads this and just understands it and goes to the next Rashi. I mean, the Gemara says this, but what does this mean? And the Svarim talk about this at length. It's obvious, because the earth is not a living creature and it doesn't have a Yetzer Hara, that Hashem made it that way. Hashem already created the earth in such a way that it should disobey what he told it to do. Only he could have caused that the earth should disobey. The fact that the earth produced trees is because he said so. So if it's producing it the wrong way, it's not because the earth is really producing it the wrong way, it's because he will so. Why? So Svarim explained this was an excuse later for Adam. This was already a method of defense, a defense mechanism that Adam Arishan uses later on when he sins, and Hashem says, why did you do it? He says, you created me from the earth, and the earth already disobeyed you, so I have it in me. So Hashem is already preparing a defense mechanism for Adam later on. Whatever it is, it's still a negative thing. Hashem is not creating a perfect earth. He's creating an earth that's not perfect. On day number 4, Yehima Oireis Berukia Hashemayim, let there be luminaries. So Rashi says, it says the word Ma'eiras without a vav, it's like as if it says Ma'eiras. Ma'eira means curse. So Rashi quotes the Chazal that tell us that on Wednesday they used to fast every Wednesday so that Askara loy tipol betinoikos. There was a disease at that time which was choking, diphtheria perhaps, whatever it was, that occurred most on Wednesday, as whatever had to do with the sun. And therefore Hashem is already saying now that the sun later in history is going to bring about diseases in the world. And not only that, but V'hoyula Oisais, Rashi says, refers to the eclipses. When the sun and the moon are concealed from view as a result of an eclipse, the sun and the moon therefore serve as signs to the world of pending disasters that might happen, because an eclipse is not a good sign. Even though we don't follow that, Klal Yisrael doesn't have to be afraid of an eclipse, it says, at least certainly not a solar eclipse. But the Umais do. Now this is certainly a negative thing, it's not a positive thing. And then when we go on further, we read that the sun and the moon were originally one size, and the moon complained, Kitriga Halavana, and as a result of that, you have Miyat HaYoreach, where Hashem diminishes the size of the moon, which all the Svarim tell us, specifically the Sifrei Kabbalah, that all the evil in the world is rooted in the Miyat HaYoreach, because Hashem miniaturized the moon, that's why there's evil in the world, and Hashem himself says that we have to bring a kapara for him when we bring the soyer on Rosh Chodesh. The pasuk says, Usir chatas laHashem, says the Gemara, Rashi quotes that too, Haviu kapara alai al shemi atati yisayoreach. Hashem considers it a sin that he made the moon smaller. That's certainly negativity. Day number five has the creation of the huge fish, the taninim hagadolim. So Rashi says, why does it say taninam without a yud? Because it's really only one, because originally Hashem created the large levyasan, the male and the female. But since he was afraid that if the male and the female will mate and produce such large fish that will eventually just destroy the world, so Hashem therefore killed the female and salted it for the tzaddikim in the future. Why did Hashem have to create it that way? Like, why couldn't one fish be in the Atlantic Ocean and one will be in the Pacific Ocean? Hashem knows how to make it in such a way that they won't destroy the world. Obviously, the world doesn't merit that it should be saved from these two fish, and therefore Hashem had to create it in such a way and then kill the fish, but that's certainly negativity. The most difficult and most outright negativity that we see that Hashem created, or at least gave room for, is on day number 6. And of all places, the most least likely expected of all the places of Chumash, of all the Maimaras, of all the 10 Maimaras that Hashem created the world, is Na'asa Adam. When Hashem said, let's create a man. Now, Hashem used the word Na'asa with a nun. Let us make a man. Who's he talking to? So Rashi says he's talking to the Malachim. And we see from here Hashem's humility, because he actually asked advice from the Malachim whether he should create a human or not. And Hashem doesn't have to do that. Hashem can do what he wants. But to teach us humility, that a person should never feel that he's lowering himself to ask advice, even from those who are not on his level. So we learn from that anivus. However, at the same time, the fact that the Torah says, let us create a man, says Rashi, yesh mokom la'apikursim lirdos. The heretics, the non-believers, the atheists, or those who believe that there's more than one God, bring proof from this pasuk that there's more than one. Because it says, let us create a man, not e'eseh Adam. And so the next pasuk says, v'yivra elokim e'eseh Adam. So the pasuk says straight out that, of course, that Hashem himself created man. It wasn't with any help. But the fact that it says, na'aseh Adam, gives room for the heretics. So why did Hashem do that? And of all places, when he says, let there be a man, this is the purpose of creation. The only reason why Hashem created the world It's not for the animals, not for the fish or the birds, but it's because of Adam, and especially as we know that Nasa Adam refers to the creation of the Jewish people as a nation. The nations of the world are compared to the animals and the birds and the fish. Nasa Adam is Klal Yisrael. We are referred to Adam, Adam Atem. We are the Adam. And more than that, the Midrashim tell us in the Zohar that this is referring to Mashiach. Nasa Adam means the greatest human being, the one who will bring the world to perfection, Vesakein Olam B'Malchus Shin Dalet Yud, which is Mashiach himself, and it's what Hashem is referring to when he says Nasa Adam. And yet these words give room for Kfira and Apikursus. How can that be? So not only is this a negative parsha and a sinful parsha and full of chatoim and oinshim and klolois at the eventual threat to wipe out the world, which Hashem does, but even the sheishes yemei bereishis, even the parsha starts off, which is at least the bria, which was a simcha to Hashem that he created shemayim v'aretz. You see that Hashem created the world with tremendous imperfections and negativity. And what's the reason for this? Most parshios, the beginning and the end, are connected very clearly. Here the parasha starts off, Bereishis Bara Elokim, the creation of the heavens and the earth, and then ends off with the destruction. Emche Esho Adam Asher Barosim Al Paneho Adam Mi Adam Adbehem. I'm going to wipe out mankind and all the animals. Hinichamti Ki Asisim. I have changed my mind, sort of, Kaviyachu, that I created them. So the parasha...
It's a difficult concept.
Very difficult. Rashi himself discusses that here. Rashi says that... What does that mean exactly? You know, when Hashem is happy, he's happy. When he's sad, he's sad. What does it mean exactly? I'd say that Hashem is depressed here, that Hashem is mourning the creation. That itself requires a lot of thought. But the parasha certainly ends off sad. That's clear. It's not ending off that Hashem was very happy and he felt very good about who he created. He's upset with what he created and he decided that he has to wipe it out. He has to get rid of it. The only thing is the last pasuk, the Noach Matzachain Be'enei Hashem. And Noach found favor in the eyes of Hashem. That's how the parasha ends off. One person with his family, so they're going to be saved. The rest have to be wiped out if they don't change in the next 120 years, and of course they did not.
So why didn't Hashem just create Noach and without all the tsaris?
What do you mean just create Noach?
Why didn't Hashem just create Noach Be'ishtov? And you could ask the question today too.
Why all the people in the world?
What was the purpose of the ten generations? The whole thing just seems.
Okay, there's a Mishnah that tells us that the ten generations, and you see that Hashem had patience. He waited. It teaches us that Hashem has a lot of patience. He didn't wipe out the world right away when it deserved perhaps to be wiped out. He gave them a chance. There are a lot of things we learn out from the fact that there are ten generations. Though it seems that it went to waste. Not all of it went to waste. I mean, there's Adam, there's Shais, there's Mesu Shelach, who was a tzaddik, there's Chanoch, who became a malach. It's not all total waste here. But it's also to teach us the fact that Hashem is an Erech HaPayim, and that also teaches us that we have to have patience. There are a lot of answers to that.
It just looks like Hashem,
Well, what he's doing is he's sifting. He created the world with room to sin and to go off. And he gives you free choice. Noach chose right. Mesu Shelach chose correctly. It's the others who didn't. Not that Hashem made them do it. I mean, that's the old question with Yediyah and Bechira. But this is also a sifting process. And these generations needed to be, the world needed to be cleansed and perfected. And Noach wasn't enough. It had to be done again until Avram comes. And then even after that, until Yaakov, Ubanov, until finally the Jewish people received the Torah. This is all a sifting process, a purification process in itself.
Were the Malachim part of the creation?
The Malachim were created on day number two. Yom Sheni, the Malachim were created. They were not part of the creation, and they didn't do anything as far as the Bria is concerned, but they were consulted. That's why Hashem said, Nasa Adam. That was to teach us Anivas, but they didn't create anything. Hashem is the only Boire. That's one of the fundamentals of Emunah, of course. The Parsha also begins with Hashem's name Elohim, Bereshis Bara Elohim, which is the lower level name of Hashem, the name that is associated with nature, Elohim Begematria Hateva, as the Svarim say. Because Hashem created a sort of nature in the world. Everything happens every day. The sun rises, trees grow. We think this is just a natural process, even though all of this is really miracles, but that's nature. The Parsha ends, V'nayach Matzachein Be'enei Hashem, Yudke Vavke, which is on a much higher level than Elohim. Even though we're talking now about the world being destroyed, and Noach is just the only, he sticks out like a rose among thorns here, although he's admonished, as we'll see in the next week's parasha, for not influencing his generation, for not praying for them, for not risking his life for them, as Moshe Rabbeinu does. Nevertheless, Noach finds favor not in the eyes of Elohim, but in the eyes of Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's how the parasha ends. There's a Gemara that tells us that Moshe is hinted in this week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Ben HaTorah Menayin, the Gemara asks in Chulin, Daf Kuf Lametes, Shenema B'Shagam Hu Basar. Now this pasuk is referring to Hashem saying that he's not even going to judge the Dor HaMavil. In other words, he's going to just wipe them out. They don't even deserve to be judged. As the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, that there's no Olam Haba for the Dor HaMavil. They won't be Oymed Badin even. Lo Yodoyim Ruchi Ba'olam Lo Olam B'Shagam Hu Basar, which literally means, despite that he is flesh, he still does not humble himself before me. You know, if people were made out of a very rough material, they were made out of metal, you would think maybe that's why they can't humble themselves before Hashem. But Gahu Basar, he's flesh and blood, he's nothing. And yet, man rebels against me, so I will allow them 120 years. V'hoyam of Me'ev Esrim Shana. The Gemara in Chulin says, here's where Moshe Rabbeinu was hinted. A very, very strange Gemara. We don't mean it's strange in a negative way, but hard to understand. The word B'Shagam is equal to the word Moshe. That's what the Gemara says. B'Shagam is B'Gematria Moshe, and Moshe lived 120 years. What's Moshe Rabbeinu doing over here? In a pasuk that's referring to the lowest generation at that time, the Dor HaMavil, that's about to be annihilated. And we're referring to the fact that people were so bad that despite that they're flesh, they can't humble themselves before me. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest onuv. That he deserves to be in this pasuk, B'Shagam, because B'Shagam is equal to the word Moshe. You couldn't find a nicer place for Moshe Rabbeinu. And second of all, we need proof that Moshe Rabbeinu was in the Torah. Moshe Ben HaTorah Menayin. The whole Torah talks about Moshe Rabbeinu from Shmos and on. How many hundreds of times is his name mentioned? When the Gemara asks, where does it say Haman in the Torah, or Esther, or Mordechai? Okay, because they're not now. They were later first. Why does the Gemara ask, where does it say Moshe in the Torah, and where we find him in the most unlikely place? What's he doing here? As we said before, this entire parasha, being that it's the Reishis, it's the first, it's the Rosh, it encompasses the entire history. Everything is included in the brain, just like the brain controls the entire body. Bereishis controls the entire Chumash, and it is the Reishis of the entire history, because Hashem used the Torah to create the world. In this parasha, therefore, you're going to find everything. You're going to find the beginning, and you're going to find the end. And just as there was an end at that time, and it ended in a terrible way, it ended with a mabul, we're also finding ourselves now at the end of time. We are in the Acharis HaYomim. Then they were Zolcha to a Noach, except that Noach didn't bring the world to perfection. When Noach was born, the Pasuk says, Vayoled Bain, as Rashi says, because the world was created, was reconstituted from Noach, Binyan, Vayoled Bain, Shemimenu Nivna HaOlam, and his father said, Zeyen Achameinu Mima'aseinu Me'itzvon Yodeinu, that this child is going to comfort us. And Rashi explains, because when Noach was born, Noach later on, not when he was born, but later on, he invented plowshares, farming tools. Noach was the one with the claim achresha Noach made. Says the Medrash, all the people until Noach were born without fingers. Every person was created with a paw. Like cats, like bears, they had no fingers. Why? Well, Hashem forgot to make fingers. Then he first remembered by Noach. And the answer is simple. Adam was originally created not to have to work for a living. A person is really supposed to serve Hashem all day and not have to work for a living. Working for a living is a curse. B'zeyas ha'pecha toch alechem is part of the klola. If not for the chetei tzadas, Adam will be in Gan Eden, enjoying the ziv Hashem like the way it's going to be in Gan Eden, the way it's going to be in Olam Haba. As a result of chetei tzadas, Adam had to work, and it was very difficult. There were koitz v'dardar, tatzmiach, loch, thorns and weeds and thistles, and doesn't have fingers. So imagine being able to farm a farm, to be cultivated and plow and plant without the proper tools and without fingers. When Noach was born, this ended. Because Noach brought a calmness to the world. That's what Noach means, actually, from the word menucha. Zeyanach Amenu, he's going to comfort us. He was born with fingers, and despite the fact that at the beginning they thought he was a freak, because everyone else did not have fingers, his father understood that it meant that his fingers will be used for a positive purpose, and he was the one who built the first plowshares. In contrast to his brother-in-law, Tuval Kayan, that was his wife's brother, Naama was his wife, as Rashi brings there, Vachos Tuval Kayan Naama, who used his building capabilities, he used his talents to build weapons of mass destruction. That's why he was called Tuval Kayan, weaponry to kill. Noach used his inventive capabilities to bring to the world plowshares. Just like it says when Mashiach is going to come, the weapons are going to be changed into plowshares. And Rashi, in fact, says that Noach's name could have been Menachem. That was a similar. Rashi translates Yenachameinu not as really comfort us, but relieve. He's going to relieve things for us. He's going to make things easier for us. So that's why he's called Noach and not Menachem. But the fact that Rashi has to negate the name Menachem means that Noach is supposed to be the Menachem. Noach is supposed to be Mashiach. Noach is the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Zohar. That's why if Noach would have been Zohar and he would have convinced his people and influenced his people, so he would have, instead of giving them a marble, he would have brought to them the Torah. That's why the Torah was given by Moshe Rabbeinu when he had to go to Har Sinai for 40 days. The marble lasted for 40 days. When the Torah was given, it says, the Goyim thought that another marble was coming to the world. We see a parallel between the marble and the giving of the Torah. Noach is the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe is the neshama of Mashiach. Moshe stands for Mashiach Yehu Sheyihiyah, as the Zohar says. Goyel Rishon, who Goyel Achron. He was the first Redeemer, he'll be the final Redeemer. Noach had the potential to be the Mashiach. Noach could have been the Menachem. Zeh Yenachameinu. The Nechama ended up being that he invented plowshares. The Nechama ended up being that he was born with fingers, and the Nechama was that him and his family were saved on the Teva. On the Teva, there was Yemais HaMashiach. He did not bring Mashiach to the world, though. He did not bring Geula to the world. He didn't go out to the world. But when is he born? He's born at the end of the parasha, in the midst of all the immorality and the decadence that is going on around him. Noach is born. In our time, in the midst of all the immorality and decadence that we see today, and we see today the exact repeat of Dor HaMabul, it's clear. Today, and the Svarim all say this, and they said years ago, Tzadikim have said that the Dor before Mashiach is the Dor HaMabul revisited. It's the reincarnation of the Dor HaMabul. It's the Gilgul of the Dor HaMabul, which is clear today that all the Chatoyim that we learn about in this week's parasha are open for everyone to see today, without any doubts. Everything, whether it's Kfirah, Pikursis, Nus, Avodazara, Shvichas Damim, it's all there for everyone to see, and they're proud of it. So today, we are living now through a door of Nephilim. Just as then there were the Nephilim, those were the Malachim that came down to the world as humans, and not only did they not perfect the world, but they ruined it and made the world fall even worse. And Nephilim Hoya Ba'aretz Bayomim Ha'im says the Pasuk V'gam Acharei Kain. What does V'gam Acharei Kain mean? Besides what Rashi says. It's also hinting to us that Acharei Kain, later on in history, again, it's going to be repeated. Whatever you see here, whatever happened then in the year 1656, when the Mabul occurred and before, is going to happen Acharei Kain in the door of Mashiach. Except the difference is, then it was a Noach, in our time it's going to be a Menachem. In our time, the one who will be revealed at the end will finish the job and the world will not be destroyed. Why? Because Noach Matzachain Be'enei Hashem. There will be people who will find favor in the eyes of Hashem. And that's the goal of a Yid, is that despite all the negativity, and despite all the immorality and decadence around us, we're not impressed. We move on, and we uplift ourselves, and we elevate the world around us, and that's why the world was created, and that's what Bereishis talks about. Bereishis tells us the world is not a bowl of cherries and roses. It's not perfect. And you're not here to have a good time. We're here to work, and it's difficult. And yes, this is a world of tohu v'avohu v'choshech al panei sohaim, and immediately Hashem put that into creation, right away. And it's a world of machloikis, pirud, yehira ki abesai chamoyim, and there's gehenim, and there's mazikim, and there are demons, and there's germs and bacteria, and there's sickness, and there's chait, and the earth sins, and there's eclipses, and there are diseases, ma'ayres, ma'ayres, and there's miyat hayoreach, and there's kfira and apikursis to the highest level today. And what's interesting is, it all started when the aura of Mashiach began to become revealed in the world. As we know, based on what Tzaddikim have said, this is not an original idea, that even though Mashiach has not come yet, but the aura, we already are feeling, we're tasting the future light of Mashiach in the last 200 years since the Baal Shem Tov, some say since the Arizal himself said that from in his time already began the Te'ima, like we taste the food Erev Shabbos, you taste the Cholent and the Kugel Erev Shabbos because you feel the Shabbos is coming. So the Arizal said that in his time already we are tasting the Toirosei Shal Mashiach through the limit of Pnimiyas HaTayr and Kabbalah that the Arizal revealed, and later on the Baal Shem Tov and later Tzaddikim. At that same time in the world began a tremendous the Enlightenment movements, all the movements that are kfira, heresy, beginning with Darwinism and atheism, and communism and reform and conservative and Zionism and all the isms that were anti-Torah, and not just anti-Torah, but against Hashem. Kfira and Apikorsis started at the very same time that the Ha'orah of the Yemos HaMashiach began. When Na'aseh Adam is beginning, that's when the Kfira starts. Rashi says, Hashem said Na'aseh Adam, and that itself gave room for the Minim and the Apikorsim to rule. Because the Kedusha and the Tumah work hand in hand. When there's a lot of when the Kedusha is beginning to open up, to become revealed, at the same time the Koiches HaTumah are revealed. And that's why it's important that we know that, because despite what a person could really look around in the world today and really give up, a person could say there's so much evil in the world, there's so much negativity, there's so much kfir and apikursis, and look what all the professors in college are saying, and look what the media is saying, and what all the books and all the newspapers, this is not Hashem's world, this is not what Hashem, that tells us how close we are to Na'aseh Adam. The fact that there is so much kfir and apikursis only tells us that we're closer to the Na'aseh Adam than we can imagine. We're closer to the Yemos HaMashiach than we even think. Because exactly, when Hashem said Na'aseh Adam, that's when He gave a makom for the Apikursim. What's interesting also is that the real kfira in the world today is concerning the creation of man. That's even not so much about the animals and the fish and everything else, the sun and the moon. It's about man, how man developed from apes and all the different levels, and then people, and then the apes and the animals came from amoebas or whatever, from plant life, and eventually from the earth. Na'aseh Adam, as the Mefarshim explained, it looks like Hashem had help with the creation of Adam, because the earth produced the body of Adam. And Hashem didn't do it himself, he did it with the earth, as all the Apikursim say. That's the whole theory of evolution, which stands for evil Lashon. It's Lashon Hara against Hashem, evolution. The whole theory of evolution, you know, those who try to conform it with the Torah, but the basic idea is that the world happened by itself. And even though they say Darwin himself did not believe it, but that's what Darwinism, that's what the atheism leads to, of course, that the world happened by itself. The room for that begins here when Hashem said, Na'aseh Adam. This when Hashem gave, this is in day number 6, between the year 5000 and 6000, that's when this theory developed. This theory of Kfira and Apikursis develops on Yom Shishi of the 6th millennium, of the 6th millennium, which is where we find ourselves now, right before the revelation of the Adam Ha'elyo, of the Adam HaMuvchar, which is Mashiach. We are experiencing all the Kfira and the Apikursis and the immorality that we see in this week's Parsha. The Parsha teaches us not to be impressed, but to move on and to elevate. Our job is to take all the negativity in this world, all the mundane, that which is chulin, and to elevate it to Kedusha. And the negativity itself becomes positive, because all of this is to challenge us and to bring us to greater heights. And that's the difference between Marcheshbon and Tishrei. Tishrei is Kodesh. Tishrei, a person finds himself surrounded by Kedusha, a person who's going to shul constantly, one mitzvah after another. It's called the Erach HaEsonim, the month of the strong, a very powerful month, full of mitzvahs. Mar Cheshvan, on the other hand, is Yerach Bul, it's a month of decay. There are no special mitzvahs in Mar Cheshvan, it's business as usual, regular, back to normal davening, there's no special Yom Tov, but that's where it really counts. The great heights that a Yid reaches, he reaches Dafka in Mar Cheshvan, not in Tishrei, because Tishrei is like you're in Gan Eden. Everyone's great in Tishrei. The challenge is, can you continue in Mar Cheshvan with the same attitude, with the same Kedusha, with the same feelings as you were in Tishrei? Can you take the Reishis of the year, the Bereishis, and extend it into the entire year to the point where the Noyach Matzachayim Be'enei Hashem, meaning Hashem is Yudkei Vavkei, that, yes, greater than Elohim. Bereishis is Elohim. Tishrei, as great as it is, but it's Elohim. In Ma'achesh, one can reach even greater levels, which is Yudkei Vavkei, which is higher than Elohim. Through a person being Matzachayim in the eyes of Hashem, despite all the difficulties which exist in Ma'achesh, which you don't have in Tishrei, which exist in the world, and especially in our door, the door of Ikvah said the Mashiach. What's interesting is that there's a famous Maimer from the Mittler Rebbe, that was the second Lubavitcher Rebbe, that he said that when it says in the Pasuk, Ish Moshe Onav Ma'od Nikol Ha'odam Asher Al Pnei Ha'adama, that Moshe was the most humble of all people on the face of the earth, he said it was referring to the door of Ikvah said the Mashiach. Moshe saw Beruach HaKodesh, our generation, and he saw the mysterious Nefesh that Yidin are going to have in the door of Ikvah said the Mashiach. And despite all the tribulations and all the nisyonos, that there are going to be Yidin that are going to prevail, they're going to win, they're going to overcome, they're going to counter all the negativities, that Moshe was humble. Moshe was humble when he saw that generation. That's what It's brought down in the Sefer Torah's Chaim. What's interesting is the words Mikol ha'adam asher al pnei ha'adama b'gematria ikfas of the Mashiach. Moshe Rabbeinu is in awe of when he sees what's going on in ikfas of the Mashiach, which is the al pnei ha'adama. Those are the people that are on the earth. They're so low that they're one with the Adama. And it's interesting, the parasha ends off, V'ayihi ki heichel ha'adam l'roiv al pnei ha'adama. The end of the parasha is referring to ikfas of the Mashiach. And that's where Moshe Rabbeinu is found. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to be with the door of Ikvus of the Mashiach, the lowest generation. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to be with them. Moshe Rabbeinu cares about the Yidden, that there's no hope for them. You think there's no hope for them. In the time of Noach, there was no hope for them, and they were wiped out. Lo yadoin ruchi ba'adam la'olam. Noach says, I can't be mispalu for them. There's no hope for them anyway. That's where Moshe Rabbeinu finds himself. In that pasuk, b'shagam hu basar, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can be misakein even those that the Torah says, even those that it says about them, that they have no chelik of Olam Haba, Moshe Rabbeinu went out on a limb for them. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mechenina, as opposed to Mei Noach. Mashiach, even more, Mashiach is going to be Malam Etzchus on every single Yid. Mashiach will bring the entire world, the Sakin Olam B'malchus Shin Dalad Yud. That the Nephilim, HaNephilim Hoyu Ba'oretz Bayomim Hohem, then the Pasuk says, Heima HaGiboyrim Hashem Eolam Anshei Hashem. Although literally, this refers to the greatest Chaitim. They were Moirdim, they're rebelling against Hashem. The Torah is hinting to us that the Nephilim became Giboyrim. That those who fell, those who go through the difficult times, which Marcheshvet is considered a Nephila as opposed to Tishrei, those are the Emes of Giboyrim. Those in the time of Ikvus of the Mashiach who can deal with the negativities of this time and the trials and the tribulations and the znus and have shmira sayinayim and be able to continue serving Hashem. Heima ha-giboyrim Hashem ha-olam anshe Hashem. They are the true giboyrim. Even though this pasuk is referring in the negative in that generation, but the Torah is also talking about our generation, which we find ourselves in right now at the end of time, like over here at the end of the parasha of Bereishis. The people in our time of Ikvus of the Mashiach, Heima HaGiboyrim Hashem Eolam Anshei Hashem, that Moshe is ashamed from the door of Ikvus of the Mashiach, that despite all the negativities, they're able to prevail. And that's the Mayach Matzachem Be'enei Hashem, that a Yid could find favor in the eyes of Hashem, even in such a time, they reach much greater heights. That means in Mar Cheshvan, which is Nephilim compared to Tishrei, where we reach such great heights, Mar Cheshvan is a much greater challenge. A Yid can daven the same way in Mar Cheshvan as he davens on Rosh Hashanah. That's a challenge. And through the Avodah and Mar Cheshvan, we reach much greater levels, including the Chanukah of the Binyan of the Bayis HaShlishi. The Yerachim Shemayni says that the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be dedicated in the month of Mar Cheshvan, not Tishrei, Mar Cheshvan. Through our Avodah, Bizman HaGolos, and especially in the time of Ikvus of the Mashiach, with all the Ra around us, and taking the physical world and elevating it, taking the Chulin in this world, by Yehiki Heichel HaAdam, Heichel Miloshon Chulin, that we're living in a world of Chulin now, where we don't see Kedusha. Mar Cheshvan is a month of Chulin as opposed to Tishrei, which is a month of Kedusha. But it's the purpose is to elevate the Chulin. Hashem sent us to this world, to the world of Soyu, Vayu, and Chayshach, to elevate it, to change the Chulin into Kedusha. The Nephilim become Giboyrim. The Noach Matzachayim Be'enei Hashem. That's Mar Cheshvan. Mar Cheshvan, it says, was created with the letter Nun, and it's the eighth month. That's Nun Ches. That's Noach. Nun Ches. That's Mar Cheshvan, which is created with the letter Nun. Himlech Ois Nun, it says in Sefer Yetzirah, it's the eighth month. Dafke in this month, which is considered on the outside at least as a much lower month than Tishrei, Dafke here we reach the great heights of the Shar Hanun, Hanafilim Hoye Ba'oritz, Bayamin Hohem is Begematria Shar Hanun. The Noyach Matzachain, the Einei Hashem, it's the month of Mar Cheshvan, it's in this month that the challenge really begins. And therefore, it's Parshas Bereishis. Shabbos Bereishis is the Shabbos that takes us from Tishrei to Mar Cheshvan. The Bereishis has to extend throughout the entire parasha. That every pasuk in this parasha is Bereishis. That means even all the negativity and all the evil and all the ra and all the decadence is all Bereishis. It's all to lead to the Reishis, which is the beginning, to bring us back to the beginning of time when Mashiach comes and we are zoichet to chadesh yemenu kekedem, which Bereishis, the Unkel says, bekadmin, back to kedem, back to the way it was, the way it ought to be. And they would be zeicher, especially in our time, where we're living now through the Dor HaMabul. And we're experiencing now, literally and openly, exactly what they experienced at that time. Then, it was Emche Esodem Asher Barasim Yal Pneho Adama. And Noach did not turn out to be the Emes HaMenachem. And in our time, we will be zeicher to the Emes HaMenachem, and all of us should be zeicher to be Moitzei Chein Be'enei Hashem, and to reach such great heights, and to utilize the Mar Cheshvan, and reach much greater heights in Ma'achesh than we even reached in Tishrei, and they will be zeichet to the Chanukah of the Beis Hamikdash Hashlishi, which is supposed to take place in Ma'achesh in the Heir of Yomeinu.